Good evening. This is Don Stone, pastor of the Helotes Independent Baptist Church, and I'm here to share the Word of God with you today, and I do trust that I can be a blessing and a help to you as I bring the message that the Lord has given. I will be speaking to you this evening on the subject of look unto me and be ye saved. Now, in the book of Isaiah 45, verse 18, reading on through verse 25, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth, made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. There is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together. Ye that are escaped of the nations, they have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I've sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come. And all that are increased among him, or against him, I shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and shall glory. And thus we find our text in verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Look unto me, the Lord said. Now God speaks in this text on the basis of Creator. He said, I've created all things. I made them, and I did not make them in vain. He said, I formed the earth to be inhabited. God had a plan in mind when he created. We're not here by chance. We're not just dealing with an accidental happening or an indifference about this matter, but we certainly are here by purpose and design of God. And I want you to understand that God is speaking from the vantage point of the Creator of all things, and consequently has every right to speak, to call to men to come and to be saved, even all the ends of the earth. He formed the earth to be inhabited, and God does not speak in vain. He points out that as he speaks, he said, there's just not anyone else but me. He invites folks to take counsel with him and to come before him, and that he might in turn save their souls. He does not speak in vain. That leads me to the point that I need to make. This is just an introduction, but I want you to see that you need to listen very carefully, because God is not just speaking in a vain fashion, just trying to put enough words together to fill a page, but he has something to say, something very serious in the nature of it, and in the consequence of how we handle or receive that message. God is the only one to speak with authority. And so I encourage you to listen carefully. Now, I want to deal with this subject today in 3 points in this message. First of all, the call to look. The call to look. Well, who do we look to? We're to look to God. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. This is the same one who has now spoken of himself back in verse 18. God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He hath created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. So we see God is calling to look to him and look unto him himself, rather than to the gods of the heathen or the vain gods that could not save. There's just isn't anyone else to turn to. Remember, our Lord on an occasion spoke very strongly in doctrine to his disciples and others that were following the Lord after he had fed them with loaves and fishes. And the Lord points out to them that they cannot come except the Father draw them. They said then, this is a hard saying, and they went away. Well, as they went away, I want you to know that God had every right to call to them, and there was just nobody else to turn to. And finally, Simon Peter being asked, or the disciple being asked, Simon Peter answered for them and said, whom shall we go to? Thou only hast the words of eternal life. There is just nowhere else to go, folks. As you listen to my voice today, if you're not saved, if you're ever going to be saved, you're going to have to look to Jesus Christ. There's nowhere else to look. There's no one else to turn to. Now, we're invited to look to God, and we're to look with a purpose. In other words, we're not just to be inquisitive. I believe we ought to be inquisitive about God. I think we ought to know all we can about God. I think we ought to study, as the Bible said, to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I think that ought to be the characteristic of the Christian's life, is studying to show himself approved unto God. But the truth of the matter is that we're to look to God with a purpose, and that purpose is to be saved. An issue that is left open to debate, to tell you the truth about it. God has promised that his word will accomplish that for which he has purposed it or has sent it. My word, he said, shall not return unto void, will accomplish that whereunto I've sent it. And in the case that is before us, it will not return to God. It'll not just come back without some results, because God has spoken in full authority, and he speaks his word to accomplish something. Now, I want to give you a couple of examples of looking, what it means to look. Sometimes a story can be told and presented, and it gives us a clearer picture, a clearer understanding of what it means to look than if we were to just discuss the word itself and the thought. Moses and the brazen serpent. In the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 4 through 9, we find out that the children of Israel murmured against Moses. And, of course, and so murmuring against Moses or murmuring against God. And God, in a time, brought some deadly snakes among the folks. They began to be bitten and they began to die. The children of Israel then turned and said to Moses, you need to pray for us. And Moses, as a faithful man of God, did pray for them. And God said, make a serpent of brass, put it on a pole in the midst of the camp. And everyone that is bitten, if they'll look, they'll live. And so it is that as the folks were being bitten by those deadly serpents, they could look then to that brazen serpent upon a pole. And that brazen serpent is typical of sin judged in that particular situation. And I want you to know that on the cross of Calvary, our Lord Jesus Christ was judged for our sin that had been laid upon him. And as Moses offered the opportunity and folks would turn and look to that brazen serpent in faith, they would be healed. Now, those who would not look, they would die in their sin, of course. And then David in the Psalms said this, look unto the hills, where I will look unto the hills, from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. The hills he's talking about is God himself, that he is the source of all of his life, all of his help, and he simply to look to God for all of the help that he needs. Now, you must trust the one to whom you look. You'll have to believe that he will do what he said. And in the case that is before us with Moses and the brazen serpent, those folks had to believe that if they would look to that brazen serpent, that they would be healed of that deadly bite, of that particular serpent. And you and I, as we look to the Calvary's cross and see our Lord Jesus Christ dying there in the place of sinners, we must believe that he died for us according to the Scriptures. Now, the object of sight, or the one before us to look to, is God. In the text that we have, he points out time and again, there's no one else. In other words, there's none beside me. Just nobody else to turn to, nowhere to go. But in fact, the truth of the matter is that every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. And we're told in New Testament light that they'll confess. And the idea is that they'll confess until the Father is totally satisfied with the confession that they make of Jesus Christ. And there is an object of faith today. It's not a dogma, it's not a doctrine, it's not a creed, but it's a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, said our Lord Jesus Christ. And every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that he is Jesus the Christ, unto the glory of God the Father. Now, the purpose of the look is to be saved. Well, you might ask, am I lost? Well, certainly. The Bible teaches that all are lost, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There are no exceptions. I realize today that there are people who are alive on planet Earth in a physical sense, and they think that they have no sin, that they're worthy. But there are no exceptions. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As Paul wrote to the church in Rome, he gave the epistle of Romans as we have it today. He spoke to the Gentiles in chapter 1. He spoke to the Jews in chapter 2. He concluded the matter in chapter 3 and said, there's none righteous? No, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, one must have weighed the question, and one who has weighed the question has to come to an obvious conclusion that they need to be saved. If there's nobody that is saved by their own effort, then they must come to the conclusion they need to be saved. And if you're unsaved, you're in grave danger. And my closing statement to you is, look to, look and live. Look to Jesus Christ and live.